On the Bookshelf with your host, Dave Doc Kirby.
Award-winning singer-songwriter Bertie Higgins, best known for Key Largo, Just Another Day in Paradise, and The Wall, among others. All 27 of his albums have been now released on streaming through Time Life. Bertie Higgins has been inducted into the Florida Artist Hall of Fame along Ernest Hemingway and Tennessee Williams, received the Mozart Music Award, the Beethoven Award, an International Acoustic Award, and an honorary PhD from Hanover University in Germany. In 2017, he was knighted and is a Knight Grand Cross of the Imperial Order of Culture and Peace. His songs have been featured on film and TV, and our guest today on the Bookshelf, Bertie Higgins. First of all, let me say congratulations on being knighted. Do you want to explain what that was all about?
Well, you know, it's an amazing thing. Now they want to make me a count, which is one step above a knight. I said, hey, I'm just getting used to being a knight. I said, I never met a knight, but now I can look in the mirror and know that I'm a knight. But it was a very exciting day. In fact, when they put the sword on my shoulder, I said, just go over my head. Don't go left and right with that sword. But very exciting stuff. Have you been to the Floribama Bar?
Yes, but it's been a long time.
South Carolina, Kokomo and Key Largo, Margaritaville are just fine. I'm racing hell in Fort Lauderdale, Daytona in the summertime. But there's this long stretch of sand that this party man can't get off his mind. I wanna be a living it up, wanna rent that Riviera, copping some rays, my cool. My cutoffs on, my brewing styrofoam, and I look so damn debonair. Living it up, redneck Riviera. I wanna see some hooters scooting on my scooter past the Panama City Beach sign. But a little mama sipping pina coladas out on the floor of Bama State Line. Rum and Coca-Cola back in Pensacola. So many bikinis, so little time. And I'll do some resting for Walton and Destin with a cold beer and 7-Eleven wine. Living it up on the redneck Riviera, copping some rays, my cool Kmart career. Take it home, take it home, yeah.
So where are you, in Troy?
Yeah. But now, I'm like you. I'm a Florida coaster guy. I grew up in Daytona Beach, and I know that you grew up on the coast in Florida as well.
I did, on the Gulf Coast near Tampa.
Yeah.
A little village called Tarpon Springs.
Oh, I know it well. Yeah, I have a brother that's been in Tampa for over 30 years now. So.
Well, Tampa was a little difficult city when I was a kid for me to handle. I'm a small-town saltwater boy. Spent a lot of years on and under and around saltwater, and all of those interesting things that you do. My father taught me about the ocean, how to feed your family. You know, he had a $100 a week job and 7 children and a grandmother and a great aunt living in his house. And he drank a little beer on Friday night. Well, if I were him, I'd probably drink beer every night with that kind of responsibility going on. But it was an interesting time growing up. We always had a good time. Very creative children. You had to be, because Tarpon Springs back then, there wasn't much to do except go down the swimming hole and skinny dip.
Were the Greeks still diving in Tarpon Springs in those days?
Yeah, well, they're still diving now. A lot of Greek millionaires are made from the sponging industry. It's very interesting. I was a sponger myself in my early 20s.
No kidding.
Trying to support my first family. Yep.
Wow.
Times weren't easy. Because sponge diving is a difficult career. It's dangerous.
Yeah. Obviously, your love of the sea, your being around the sea and all, has a huge impact on your career. And I have to admit that when I got the press materials, I really felt kind of ashamed of myself, because it said you had 27 albums, and I thought, oh my, I've really been lax. We've been playing oldies for a number of years here, and I thought, he's been making new records all this time, and I didn't really get to know them until I had a chance to access the files that Michael sent me. And I thought, this is really wonderful material. And because my first experience with your music was Key Largo, which is still one of my favorite songs of the decade.
Well, I mean, it was interesting when I wrote it. It was interesting when I recorded it. Slowly crept the charts. We had heart attacks when it lost a bullet, like at number 70 or something.
Right.
But it did go number one in the adult contemporary charts and top 10 in the Hot 100.
Right.
But it was a very interesting time in my life. I did a lot of things that I haven't been doing for a while because I'm working on several things, like my Time Life deal,
right,
which is available on Spotify and iTunes and all that. The Pirates and Poets album was never released to streaming. So that was my second album, and I vaguely recall recording it. When you do 27 albums, they all tend eventually to run together.
I would imagine.
But it's the album cuts that I like. You know, the hits are what pays the bills.
Sure.
But the album cuts, like when I listen to a Gordon Lightfoot album, I love his album cuts. Its singles, okay.
Right.
But the album cuts are what I die for, and it's wonderful to write them.
The song Key Largo, when it came out, has an awful lot of allusions to, besides just the title, to Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall. And when it first came out, and I was programming an AC station at the time, and jumped right on it. I said, this is just too cool a record. I hope it becomes a hit. But even if it doesn't, I'm going to play this record because I just like it so much. And loved all the little references because I was a big Humphrey Bogart fan. There was kind of a resurgence in interest.
So was I, man. So was I.
There was kind of a resurgence of interest in Bogie toward the end of the 70s, wasn't there? I mean, there were movies that came out and plays that came out and so forth. And when videotape came along, you could buy a copy of Casablanca. Do you feel like that resurgence, was that part of it, or just the fact that, no, I like it, and so I'm going to write about it?
Well, before my wife and I got married, we spent a lot of time in the Keys, and we were always Bogart and Bacall fans. But look at their lives. You know, it's amazing what happened. I mean, Bogart was a middle-aged, older guy, and he snagged this young girl, and that was it. I'm a few years older than my wife, and that was kind of our story.
Ah.
But like I watch a lot of Turner Classic Movies.
Me too, yeah.
Every time a Bogart film comes on, I hunker down and settle in, and I watch them all. And so I just thought he was a tremendous actor.
Yeah.
Wrapped around each other, trying so hard to stay warm. That first cold winter together, lying in each other's arms, watching those old movies, falling in love so desperately. Honey, I was your hero, my leading lady. We had it all, just like Bogie and Bacall, starring in our own late show, sailing away to Key Largo. Here's looking at you, kid, missing all the things we did. Hello, just like they did in Key Largo. Honey, can't you remember? We played all the parts, that sweet scene of surrender, when you gave me your heart. Please say you will play it again, 'cause I love you still. Maybe this can't be the end.
can't come on, just like they did in Key Largo. We had it all.
Finally became a sex symbol. Think about this. The guy wasn't a Robert Redford in the face. He didn't have a beautiful speaking voice, but boy, there was a thing about him that just tweaked people up and got them going.
Yeah.
He was amazing.
Such a stage presence, a star quality, and he always seemed to be
guy. If you got it, you got it. If you got it, you were born with it.
Yeah.
I don't think you can learn to write a song or be an actor. You might get headed in that direction, and it may help you, and it may hinder you.
Mm-hmm.
But me as a songwriter, I mean, I'm amazed. I received a gift from, I believe, my Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
That I was able to do this. And, of course, my ancestry, my great aunt, who died in 1944, was a Tin Pan Alley songwriter.
Wow.
And so Edry, we discovered a bunch of her music in the copyright office in the last couple of months. And went to the University of South Florida and got the sheet music. So my keyboard player, Mark, right now is going through this to determine the melodies. Now, if there's something I can relate to and like, I'll cut an album called maybe Memories of the Great Depression or something. That's when she wrote these songs.
Oh, wouldn't that be
something? That might be a fun project.
Indeed. Wow. Tell us about the fact that your music is being assembled by Time Life. And it's also going to be available on streaming, but Spotify, for the folks that are old school and want to own a physical thing, can they order that? And if not, I'll just cut this out of the interview.
Well, the way it's going to work, as far as I know, you can stream a song and keep it.
Right.
And
right.
What is most exciting with iTunes and Spotify that all this will be available worldwide, internationally. As if people are going to be able to hear writings and songs by me that were album cuts they've never heard. Now, that exposes me even more so as a writer,
right,
which to me is the most flattering thing. And I'm so pleased to be with Time Life. It's amazing that we should be getting together on this thing. Amazing. Think about that one. I mean, I'm just a little guy from Tarpon Springs. Came from a family of 7 children.
Wow.
To be able to break out into the world like this, which I've had toured the world a lot. An awful lot, in fact. But it's amazing now that the people out there who like the hits are going to delve even further into my writing ability. Now, that fascinates me. That's most interesting. Because those are the things that are going to live, I think, forever.
Yes.
Hopefully.
Growing up in a time when hits were kind of the genre, that began to change. I know in the record production business toward the late 60s, when album cuts became featured on certain types of formats, and there's still a lot of wonderful music that most people have never heard because it was side 2, cut 3 or 4, and they just bought the album because they wanted to hear the hit song on it, and that's all they ever listened to.
Right. Well, that's what's exciting about this. And the new music right now is a little confusing to me, even though there's a lot of good stuff out there, and occasionally something will surface that's, wow, that's a great song. But things are always in flux. They're always changing.
Right.
And that's what's most interesting about living in this world of ours.
Yes.
Things are always changing. In fact, the slump we're going through right now will change as well.
Right. One of the benefits of having a few years under our belt is that we've seen things like this happen before, and we have managed to overcome and work through it and trust in God and be in it for the long haul of it makes getting through it easier.
Well, trusting God is true. I'm sure he's got his finger on the pulse of what's going on down here. But, you know, you and I are citizens of the greatest country in the world. And when you travel the world, you realize it's time to go home to where things are really great. And the United States, no matter what problems we have, and we always have some, is still the greatest place to live on the planet. And that's my belief.
Yes.
I'm a patriot, and I believe in it.
I just got back this morning at 2:30 from a mission trip to Mexico, interacted with some wonderful people there. Yeah, there really is nothing like traveling internationally to make you appreciate home.
You're so correct. And even though internationally is very interesting, and you run into different situations, but I'm the believe that the world is basically the same.
Yeah.
People are just trying to raise their children, get them educated, and provide whatever they can for their luxuries in life. It's all right. The same game. It's just under a different tint, some of it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
No, I enjoy the world. I really, but still, to come home, you'll want to kiss the dirt. I mean, the U.S. is just the greatest place.
Well, now, I wanted to ask you about a song that was a wonderful release. We play it on Memorial Day. We play it on Veterans Day. And that is a song that you wrote called The Wall. Tell us a little bit about that one.
Well, it's not one of my favorite recordings. It's in a lower key than I was used to. But Arne Geller, who was managing me and Cyndi Lauper one time, brought the song to me. Now, my brother died in Vietnam. I was in the Army for a while. So The Wall, and I've been to The Wall a couple of times in Washington, very, very emotional place to go. And that's why I cut the song, because it spoke to me in ways that nothing else did at that time, and still now.
In Washington, D.C., a monument stands to honor those who lost their lives in Vietnam. Their names are carved in granite on what the survivors have renamed The Wall. This story is dedicated to that memory. I saw him standing all alone that night, staring at the wall. There were so many names to try and read, but he searched through them all. Then he spotted a wilted flower that someone had wedged in a tiny crack. It was by a name that he seemed to know. He smiled as he stepped back. Then I watched him reach out and touch the flower with his hand. With tears in his eyes, he whispered, "Help me understand."
He was a lonely soldier, drifting from day to day, caught in between two worlds, trying hard to find his way. Somebody's restless hero, making his final call. He had a special reason for coming to the wall.
I walked up and asked him his name. He softly said, "Billy Rowe." He was dressed in a uniform, said he'd fought in Vietnam several years ago. He said, "My life has been so confusing, but I'm trying to make the change. It's just I miss my wife so very much." Then what he said seemed strange. He said, "You know, all my old friends are here. I can see now the time is finally right." Then he turned and said goodbye to me and walked into the night.
He was a lonely soldier, drifting from day to day, caught in between two worlds, trying hard to find his way. Somebody's restless hero, making his final call. He had a special reason for coming.
I felt a force pull me to the wall to tell me something I should know. And then I saw that wilted flower begin to grow. I could now plainly see the name of Private Billy Rowe, who died fighting in combat in Vietnam 16 years ago. I guess for some it's not as easy. The love they have lives on. But that night, Private Billy Rowe finally found his home.
He was a lonely soldier, drifting from day to day, caught in between two worlds, trying hard.
heart to find his way. Somebody's restless hero, making his final call. He finally found the answer by coming to the wall.
Every now and then a jewel will come across your desk that you didn't write. And so I put a lot of those songs that I recorded on a separate album called Gold from My Treasure Chest. And it's just songs I really wanted to do over the years. So I said, well, let's go do them. And we did. And The Wall is in that project.
Ah. Of all the songs that you have written or recorded that you hope people will hear and enjoy, and therefore they're going to be available in this wide streaming release, which are the ones that you really hope people will take to their heart that are special to you in the way that, say, The Wall was, or even a hit like Key Largo?
Well, you know, it's always been the latest thing I've written. But the older I get in recording, I want my songs to be simpler, because I start off as a folky. There's a song called The Girl, which is so simple in its approach and recording, mm-hmm. that it's one of my all-time favorites. But basically, everything I've done, sans a couple of them, I've always liked, or I wouldn't have written them or recorded them, and they're all kind of a template of my life. So if you want to know what I've been through, listen to the music, because it's all pretty much there.
Well, that makes sense. And I get to interview a lot of authors of books. I have a show called On the Bookshelf that's been running for over 30 years, and whenever I say, well, which is your favorite book, they always say the same thing as you do. Well, I liked them all, you know. It's like asking me, which of my children do I like the best? I said,
right, that's a tough answer. That's
yeah,
a tough
yeah.
answer.
I suppose, maybe I should phrase it this way. Which song will you be particularly happy that people will get to really hear for the first time, that when you wrote it, you said, wow, this is maybe The Girl, or maybe another song that you wrote and said, wow, this is the one that's going to explain exactly where I am at this moment in time, and maybe it became an album cut rather than a release or something, and now lots of people are going to get to hear it. Is there one particular one that stands out?
No, well, let me think back. When I was a kid, I went to the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus under the tent in Tampa, Florida.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a clown there named Emmett Kelly.
Oh, yeah.
The sad face clown. Well, I wrote a song called Mr. Kelly.
Ooh.
And it's pretty much an autobiographical thing of where my head was at. That tends to be one of my favorites. I may recut that. I'm not wild about the recording. It's okay. But every now and then there's a song that sticks in my head. I wrote one called The Runner about smuggling marijuana into the dock down here at Tarpon Springs back in the early 70s. And I knew a lot of the guys who got busted and went to jail. But there's always an interesting piece, man. There's always an interesting piece that you put together that you say, man, I'm glad I wrote that. Or a few that you say, whoa, why did I write that one? And at any rate, but you never know where something's going to end up. Like the films I produced, one of the investors said he saw, one of them was called Christmas in Hollywood, and he saw it on a couple of international flights. They're showing it on the airplanes now. Stuff like that amazes me.
I think that's so fun. So when you're able to achieve a level of success and you get an opportunity to do kind of go in a different direction, like being a movie producer, how does that? And I know we're close to time, so if we don't have time to give me a long answer, that's okay. But so is that a pretty interesting sort of thing to get to do, or was it I need to diversify a little?
No, it wasn't a financial or diversification decision. It was something like, I have always loved movies.
Okay.
So in the films we made, we've done four or five of them. I co-write screenplays. I take roles in them. I wrangle the music in them. So it's a pretty complete thing to do.
Yeah.
Now I'm thinking about making a cookbook.
Well,
doing recipes from some of the places I've visited in the world.
Right.
To expose people to foods they've never tried. But there are some foods I wouldn't touch, but at any rate, I may do a cookbook. I'm thinking about it. And I've got part of a novel written now.
Oh.
But novels are so tough. Oh my God, are they tough? So if you don't like a book, you got to salute the effort they went into putting it together. They're
yeah.
difficult.
Well,
my songs are like mini novels. I mean,
yeah,
like Zell Miller, the old ex-governor of Georgia, wrote a book about the recording artists of Georgia. Yeah, I've got a few pages, and he opened it up with Bertie Higgins is one heck of a storyteller. I guess I tell stories in my songwriting.
Yeah, well, you know, you do. I think, isn't that the most wonderful thing, to be a storyteller?
Well, to have the opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it, man. I'm just an average guy from a little town in Florida, and with seven brothers and sisters, growing up at a difficult time. My father had a $100 a week job, and he made it work. To have that kind of exposure was just so heartwarming to me.
Yeah.
And thank my lucky stars, let's put it that way.
Yeah. Wow.
But I believe you will be what you think about most of the time if you want it badly enough.
Absolutely. Bertie Higgins, it's been a great delight to get a chance to talk to you. I'm so glad to get to tell someone whose music I've admired so much for so long how much it's meant to me to play it on the radio for year after year. And thank you so much for making such a long time for us to get to visit.
Well, hey, it's my pleasure, man, and God bless you, and thank you so much for taking me on.
Absolutely.
Now, let's go get some breakfast. Are you hungry? How about
that's a deal. And you may have some suggestions about breakfast now that you're working on this cookbook.
I don't know whether I'm going to pull it off or not. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I haven't written a song in about a year now, so it might be another diversion from songwriting. I don't know.
Okay.
But my interests are far and wide, and I keep sliding around to try this and try that.
Well, I think that's what keeps you fresh, doesn't it?
Hopefully, yeah. But, you know, there's some days that I am fresh. and some days not so fresh. Well, listen, God bless you, man, and I'm here, okay? If you need me for anything, give me a call.
I sure will. Thank you so much, Sir Bertie.
Thanks, Doc.
Well, yeah, that to me, that's another amazing thing. Can you believe that?
Yeah, pretty cool.
I'm Sir Bertie Higgins, PhD. That's even scarier. It's quite a burden to carry around on your shoulders.
I would imagine.
But not quite as heavy as that sword they put on my shoulder when they knighted me. I don't know, man.
Well, hey, thanks a lot, Bertie. I really enjoyed this, and it's great to talk to you. And I look forward to listening to more of your songs and discovering them, okay?
Yeah, well, I appreciate your interest in my career, man.
Absolutely.
And thank you so much for having me on the air.
Absolutely.
And by the way, to your listeners, I love all of you, okay? All right.
Award-winning singer-songwriter Bertie Higgins, best known for Key Largo, Just Another Day in Paradise, and The Wall, among others. All 27 of his albums have been now released on streaming through Time Life. Bertie Higgins has been inducted into the Florida Artist Hall of Fame along Ernest Hemingway and Tennessee Williams, received the Mozart Music Award, the Beethoven Award, an International Acoustic Award, and an honorary PhD from Hanover University in Germany. In 2017, he was knighted and is a Knight Grand Cross of the Imperial Order of Culture and Peace. His songs have been featured on film and TV, including Kristen Wiig's Barb and Star Go to Vista Del Mar and Matthew McConaughey's Beach Bum. Our guest today on the bookshelf, Bertie Higgins. Thanks so much for joining us for this special. Even though it wasn't about a book, anybody who's written 27 albums worth of songs is certainly a storyteller. And we were delighted to get a chance to share them with you in this venue. So thanks for listening to On the Bookshelf on your favorite radio stations and on my podcast, onthebookshelf.podbean.com. We'll see you next time right here. Until then, I'm your host, Dave Doc Kirby. Thanks for listening, and God bless.